If you take a look at the lessons on the back of your bulletin, we notice in Deuteronomy that the Lord God teaches us. He says, I declare today, he says, that you will surely perish. But look what comes before that. That says, if your heart turns away and you will not hear, and you are drawn to worship other gods and serve them, then God says, you will perish. In the letter to Philemon, God's word tells us, he says, down in verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And so accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. What we begin to learn in the scripture lessons for today is that there are times that we actually need to be commanded, don't we? There are times that God says, please don't do that. And then there are times in our lives where God says, don't. The command. And what we find in the gospel reading then is Jesus speaking to a crowd. A crowd in his day that came out to see the show in some cases. Others wanted miracles because they were in need of one. But they wanted something from Jesus. And Jesus turns it around and wants something from them. He's offering his cross. He's offering his death. He's offering the power that overcomes sin and the devil and the grave. And by that call of the gospel, he's asking for something from them. And what's interesting is in that culture, it's similar to our world today. When we think of Jesus, the visual picture of Jesus, we think of someone who's gentle, mild, not making waves. We think of someone so loving. The nicest guy ever. We think of someone who doesn't come in and stir things up or instigate problems. Instead, he comes and just meets us where we are. You know, that's the kind of Jesus we like. But is that all Jesus is? There were times when his followers, the disciples, would hear Jesus, and even one time in Scripture, they come up with that response, this is a hard saying, you know? In other words, these are tough words to swallow. And sometimes the truth is exactly that. And in today's gospel reading in Luke 14, we hear that bitterness, that hardship to swallow. That Jesus talks about how you cannot love your family and your friends, and you have to understand there's a parenthesis here, as they want to be loved. And it sounds strange, doesn't it? Because if you think about it, our sinful nature wants us first. I'm one of six. I gave up trying to be mom and dad's favorite. So, and y'all understand why. That wasn't happening. And so we looked at each other as who was the favorite. I don't know if you how many siblings you have in your family, but there were times that you might have wanted to be the favorite. Our oldest, Megan, she sends notes or says when I answer the phone, this is your most favorite oldest daughter. Well, if she's the oldest, I only have one oldest, so she has no competition, you know. We like being loved. We like being loved the way we want to be loved. And in our world, back then and just as now, it's a permissive kind of definition of love. If you let me do what I want, I know you love me. If you give me what I ask for, I know you love me. If you listen to me and do it my way, I know you love me. Did you ever think of that? And when parents or teachers or anybody in authority said no, our hearts are sometimes so crushed, we figure, they don't love me. And we mope. And we get into self-pity. So when the crowd hears this word about hating father and mother and brother and sister and friends, you have to put it into context. What they're saying is, in all relationships and in all of life, God comes first. And that creates attention. Not attention, focus, but tension. It creates conflict. And when you want to serve the Lord your God, the way the scripture says to do so, there are people around us and people we care about who don't want you to do it that way. And it makes it hard. A friend of mine who's a pastor, his in-laws wanted him to be at their house for Christmas dinner. Now, he's a pastor, and Christmas was on Sunday. And they live out of state. And they throw a little tantrum about how you never love us. You always, and on it goes. And what he's trying to teach them is that I love you, but God is first. And that tension can arrive not only with the in-laws, it can arrive and show up in marriage, in parenting, and in the workplace. And even at times, just my opinion, it's like the government wants us to love them and do it their way more than God. Now, that's as political as I will get today, and I will leave it alone after that. But you understand, it creates attention. It creates problems for us. And that leads us to why Jesus says, in order to follow me, you pick up the cross. The cross is what we bear, not only in the sense of our own sinful nature, but we're not dying for our sin. The cross is what we bear because we're in conflict with sinful nature. We're in conflict sometimes with ourselves. As Paul said, that which I want to do, I don't. And that which I don't want to do, I do. You know, and the same thing is with the world and friends and family. That which they want me to do, I may not do. And that which what they don't want me to do, I sometimes do. And it creates a problem. And when I want to live for Christ, and when I want to glorify God, and when I want to be a witness for my faith, when I want to speak that truth in love, so much of the world around us doesn't want to hear it. So much of the world around us, so many people, so many relationships want nothing to do with it. You know, when I was growing up, they said, you know, at the dinner table, you don't bring up politics and religion, right? Because of the tension. And Jesus is saying, do exactly that. Because when we love Jesus with all of our heart and with all of our might and with all of our soul and with all that we are from head to toe, with all that God has graciously given, we're going to use what God has given and who he has created, that means ourselves, we're going to be for him, and that often means we're going to leave unmet needs and unmet desires alone. And so the cross in Jesus' day was a sign of battle. It recognized that if you were carrying your cross, you were going to die. And in a spiritual sense, we pick up a cross and we say we have died to self and we live for Christ. We live for Jesus. And so sometimes that's why it's hard to be a Christian. Myself likes itself. You know, I don't know if I can say that psychologically or physiologically or however, but myself likes myself. Have you ever woken up on Sunday morning because the alarm went off and said, I think I'll stay here? And yet what does God call us to do? He calls us to get up and come and worship. When we're parents, maybe we've developed the self-discipline and the walk of faith. It's not a problem getting up. But our children find every kind of way to sabotage getting out of the house on time. And so on and on, we find ways, even in a Christian family, that we begin to see the cross, the battlefront that we have in our own life. The cross is terrible where Christians are being martyred. Where because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your life is physically in danger. And many have died. But it's tough enough even in our own household. When giving a witness to God is sometimes challenging. When our humor isn't necessarily godly. When what we like on TV isn't necessarily Christian. And it presents all kinds of values and messages that we shouldn't have as a part of our life. We are challenged. And so Jesus says to us in his scriptures, right there, it is confrontational. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He's simply telling us how difficult it is. Does this sound like that mild-mannered, really nice guy? Later on in the scriptures, it tells us that after Jesus was teaching, there were people who walked away. There's even the one guy that was the rich man, and he says, all of this I've done. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, go sell all you have and come and follow me. And he went away. The Bible says, because he had much. We are called to be alive in Christ. Not alive based on earthly, worldly, temporal definitions. We are called to be alive in Christ because he has made us spiritually alive. And even though my body may die today, yet I live in Christ. We are called to be alive in Christ. To be his followers, his disciples. Not passive, not spectators. But we are called to be involved in this relationship that he makes us alive in. We are called to be alive in Christ, to give him the glory, to speak his word, to grow in the faith that he has created. We are called to do this journey. He warns us it's not easy, but he also tells us when we fail, he forgives us and he picks us up and he restores us as his own. We are called to be a bright light in a world of darkness, that comparison, and that light is sometimes by the world desired to be turned off. Jesus is calling you not to be arrogant, not to be belligerent, not to bully people back because you're a Christian. But instead, he is calling you to understand the challenge that is before you. That when you're going to live, and as you live for the Lord, it will create a tension. And he wants to tell you that it's okay. It's not that you're going to love the tension. but that you love him more. And that you continue to walk by faith to the glory of God. Amen.